Thank you. Good day, friends. Again, it is our great joy to come to you. And we have come to an amazing portion of Scripture in the 11th chapter of this book of Matthew. For those of you who are listening in for the first time, we are studying the book of Matthew, the first book in the New Testament. And the great question asked is this Jesus of Nazareth the Messiah, the King of Israel? And we've gone through these 11 chapters proving that He is really the Messiah. And when we come to chapter 11 of this book, we have where the nation rejects Jesus Christ as their Messiah. When you come to chapter 12, the king rejects the nation. Now, in the first part of the chapter, in the first 15 verses, you have where our Lord is rejected in John the Baptist, his forerunner. John is in prison, and so on. And then the Lord comforts John and then defends John before the multitude. Then you have his great indictment on the nation in verses 16 down through verse 19. He indicts them that doesn't matter who comes, whether it's John or Jesus, they will never be satisfied. Whether you come neither eating nor drinking, or whether you come eating or drinking, makes no difference how you come. Their hearts are closed to the things of God. They had all the evidences of his messiahship, and they've spurned him, and they've spurned his ministry, and they spurn his kingship. So in verses 20 down to 24, he passes judgment on the cities in Galilee where he has done so many of his mighty works, especially Capernaum, where he spent approximately 3 years living in Capernaum, was the center of his ministry in Galilee. Which are exalted to heaven, yes, because the Savior lived there. And they're going to be cast down to hell. It's going to be more tolerable for such cities as Tyre and Sidon with all their pride, and even Sodom and Gomorrah with all their immorality and sensuality. It's going to be far more tolerable for those cities, these terrible cities of the old world, than for these other cities in Galilee. And having been spurned by his people, now he turns and makes a personal invitation to anyone who wants to come to him. And you remember in verses 25 down through 27, he speaks of a great truth that I want to emphasize again when he said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hidden these things from the wise and from the prudent, and thou hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, it seemed good in thy sight. You know, I like that little verse. The Lord does exactly what he wants to do with open hearts. What he's looking for are open hearts. God just delights, just absolutely delights to redeem, to save, to reveal himself to open hearts and open minds. The trouble is that most hearts and minds are closed to the Savior. In fact, our Lord goes on to say in verse 27, you can't know him except by revelation. And this is true. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, it says that the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, but they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. For who knows the things of God but the Spirit of God? And he to whom the Spirit of God will reveal him. Now, when we come to chapter 16 of the book of Matthew, verse 17, you remember, dear Peter had said to Jesus, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And our Lord's amazing answer to him was, Peter, flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Christ is only known by revelation. You know, it makes no difference what schooling you've had. You can know the Savior. Makes no difference what color you are. You can know the Savior. The Lord doesn't make any difference between black or white or red or yellow, or what part of the world you come from, or in what family you're born. We're all sinners needing a Savior. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Whether you are a university professor or whether you're a common laboring man, makes no difference who you are or what you are. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and the Lord's heart is always open to anybody, anybody. You know, I like that little wee verse in the Bible where it says, the common people heard Jesus gladly. not the religious folk, not the Pharisees and scribes and Sadducees, not the priests, but the common people heard him gladly. Oh, how glad I am for that. As Corinthians says, not many wise men after the flesh, not many noble are called, but God hath taken the things that are nothing to confound the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. I'm quoting 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Oh, I thank thee, O Father, said our Savior, because you've hidden these things from the wise and the prudent, and you've revealed them unto babes. And he goes on to say that you can't know the Father except as the Son will reveal him to you. But how can I get the revelation of God to my heart? Where shall I go? What shall I do to have the revelation of God to my heart and mind? Jesus makes it in the very next statement in verse 28 when he says, do you want to know God? Do you want to know the Father? Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your soul. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Oh, this is the great invitation of God. Come unto me. Come unto me. You mean just the way I am? Just the way you are? Don't I have to become religious first? No. Moral first? No. No, no, my friend. Don't I have to be baptized first? No. 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 Jesus is saying to you, wherever you are, whoever you are, whatever you are, Jesus is saying to you, come unto me, I'll give you rest. Do you want rest of heart? Do you want rest of conscience? Come unto him. It's not possible, says the book of Hebrews, that the blood of bulls and of goats can take away sin, can cleanse the conscience from sin. But this man, Jesus, by one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God. He is able to cleanse your conscience and to purge your conscience from sin and from dead works. Oh, listen, friend. Jesus is saying to you, and you might be in your sin. You might have tried everything under heaven. You've tried drugs, you've tried alcohol, you've tried the world, you've tried sensuality, you've tried everything. And you're still searching for something. Jesus is saying to you, come unto me. Come unto me and I'll give you rest. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. You know, he's talking to Jews who are burdened with the law. In Acts 15:10, Peter says, neither we nor our fathers could bear it. Really under a burden. Legalists are always under a burden. But the call of grace is unto the rejected one, Jesus. Jesus, the one who was crucified by his own people and by the Romans, crucified by the world, buried. God raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand to be a prince and a savior. And he is saying to you, come unto me and I'll give you rest. Do you want rest, my friend? Jesus is the only one who can give you rest. And all he says is, come. Why don't you come? Do you know one time in Matthew 15, the Lord met the disciples on the water at night and they were scared stiff. They thought it was a spirit. And Peter says, Lord, if it's really you, bid me come to you. And Peter, and the Lord just said one word, come, just come. He's saying that to you, my friend, today. Come unto me. He didn't say, come unto some religious organization or come unto some people. He said, come to me. Jesus is the Savior. No philosophy will save you. No doctrine will save you. No local church can save you, however good it may be. Now, please don't misunderstand me. I'm all for the local church. It stands for the Word of God. That's the gathering of those who are his children, who have come to Jesus. I'm talking to you who are not Christians. He's saying, come to me. You see, it's a personal relationship. In John chapter 6, he could say, he that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. He could say in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. John 14:6, when answering the question, show us the Father, he said, have I been so long time with you? Don't you know me? He that has seen me hath seen the Father. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Peter could tell the Jews of his day, there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved, the name of Jesus. The Apostle Paul writes, this is a faithful saying and worthy of your acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Oh, listen, friend. Jesus is saying to you, come unto me. All you that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Now, this is a gift. It's not something you work for. It's not something you buy. He said he would give you rest. Rest of conscience. He took the burden of your sin. He's already put your sin away. He cleansed you from sin and forgive you every trespass. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. I again say, my friend, I'm not calling you to a church. I'm not calling you to an ordinance. I'm not calling you to some work. I'm calling you to a person. Jesus said, come unto me. I'll give you rest. Oh, friend, I tell you, it's really rest. Rest of conscience. To know that you can come in the presence of God and never again see your sin. Never to come into judgment. To have eternal life. To become a child of God. But you've got to come to him. As John 1:12 says, to as many as received him, to them he gives the right, the power, the authority to become a child of God, even to them that believe on his name. See, friend, why don't you come? Rest of conscience. But it doesn't stop there. He goes on to say, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your soul. This is experimental rest, experimental peace. You'll find rest unto your soul. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. Never chafes, you know. The collar never chafes on the shoulder because he's the one that's pulling the load. Oh, what a rest, it says. To cease from my deadly doing and just trust Jesus. Just to cease works. As Hebrews chapter 4 says, they that have entered into his rest have ceased from their own works as God did from his. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. You shall find rest. By the way, may I say to you Christians today, for your study, did you know that this is the only thing that Jesus ever said to his people? Do you want to learn anything of me? Learn of me, for I am meek. Could I ask you to put down two other verses? In John 13:15, Jesus said, I have given you an example. What was the example? Humility. Meekness. In 1 Peter chapter 2, starting in at verse 22, where it says, he left us an example that we should follow in his steps. Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Who, when he was reviled, he reviled not again, but left all things to him who judgeth righteously. Did you notice something? Learn of me, for I am meek. I have given you an example. Meekness, the only one he ever gave us. Only once did he, is it written, he left us an example. Meekness. When he was reviled, he reviled not again, but left all things to him who judgeth righteously. Learn of me, for I am meek. Do you know that strikes a real thing in my heart? And I'm going to be very frank when I say this. You and I have heard preachers and teachers who are arrogant, and they're cold, and they're proud. I wonder, do we sit at his feet? Jesus said, learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your soul. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. As the Epistle of John chapter 4 says, chapter 5, pardon me, about the fourth verse, it says that his commandments are not grievous. Verse 3 or 4 of 1 John 5. His commandments are not grievous. He carries the load. Ah, friend, he's the great burden bearer. Are you carrying a burden today? Christian, Are you carrying a great burden today? Why don't you cast your burdens upon the Lord and enjoy real rest of heart? Rest of conscience through the cross, yes. Rest of heart through walking with Him. Just like you have on this question of peace. As Romans 5:1 says, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God. All believers have that. Like John 14:27, my peace I give unto you. All believers have that. In John 16:33, in the world you shall have tribulation, but in me you'll have peace. That's for all believers. But in Philippians 4:7 it says, and the peace of God shall guard your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. Ah, listen, this is experimental peace, daily peace, as you walk with Him. Take my yoke upon you. There's a yoke to be borne. As a Christian, there's a yoke to be borne. And as we bear that yoke, I find I experience real peace. Why? Because it's a walk of fellowship with Christ. He bears the load. He bears the burden. I enjoy the peace. I want you to get this clear. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. I will give you rest. Do you want to know God? Do you want a Savior? Do you want to be freed from your sin, from the burden of sin? Jesus says, come unto me. I'll give you rest. Having come to Him, He said, now take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest. It's experimental rest. The rest of heart. Rest of conscience, I repeat, through the blood of the cross. Cleansed from sin. Rest of conscience. Conscience purged from sin. But as I walk with Him, as I read His word and walk in the light of His word, I enjoy daily peace. It's experimental peace because I'm walking with Him. And I find that He carries the load. Oh, you say, Mr. Mitchell, I couldn't stand this test one more minute. Yes, I know, but you didn't have the extra minute, did you? He came and picked up the load. Oh, how many have said that? I couldn't have taken another day of this. Yes, the Lord knows how much He can stand. And He bears the load. He carries the burden. He's the great burden bearer. I just feel like closing again today. Unsaved friend, why don't you come to Him? Why don't you come to the Savior? He is telling you, saying to you personally, come unto me. I'll give you rest. I'm the only Savior. I'll forgive you and cleanse you from every sin. And to you believers, He is saying, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, and you enjoy rest of heart. Ah, what a wonderful thing to live your life in fellowship with the great burden bearer, to know that He's with you every step of the way, that He loves you with an everlasting love, that He's yours. Why don't you enjoy Him today? And unsaved friend, why don't you come to Him today? He's just waiting. And it says, to as many as received Him, to them He gives the right to become the children of God, even to them that believe on His name. And the Lord bless you for His name's sake.